Welcome back to another episode of Afternoon Delight. Pew! It's Kyle Rush. It's Ben Taylor.
Yo.
And it sounds like lawnmowers are coming, like a freight train is coming through my window. But
I can't hear it.
Okay, good. They're here today, and they are ripping and roaring outside. But that's not what we're going to talk about. We're not talking about landscaping today. All of Auburn's basketball roster is finally here. The last piece, Narcisse Ngoy, is in Lee County. What a culture shock I'm sure he's had in getting here from France. But who cares? Everybody's here. Mantis is here. Narcisse is here. Everybody's here.
Well, and I love it. You know, 4th of July celebration this weekend. We need to get those fellas out. Let them see the community. Let them be involved.
Go to the lake.
Yeah. It's free parking downtown on Friday.
Bro, can you imagine Narcisse at Lake Martin this weekend, 4th of July?
I can't imagine Narcisse sitting in Hamilton's next to me. Like,
he will be like, because Bruce's house, their place is like right there in the middle of the lake, like right there behind Chimney Rock, like the big water, what I call big water. There will be thousands of boats crawling the lake. You just imagine him looking out and be like, my God, where am I? Like, this is incredible. Did you see the video? Go ahead.
He's been seeing stuff on like the French Riviera, like the big yachts. He's going to see the most rednecks with John boats and
pontoons. You think they got pontoon boats in the Mediterranean?
In the French Riviera, buddy.
Or wherever. What sea touches France?
The sea that's housed by yachts, not pontoon boats. I can tell you that.
Oh, so France actually touches an ocean, not just a sea. Okay. So that would be technically like the Atlantic Ocean, I guess. They touch the Mediterranean. So he could see probably not any pontoon boats in the Mediterranean Sea, I would imagine. So you think Francis sees his first pontoon, not Francis, Narcisse. I'm combining a lot of things. Do you think, true or false, Narcisse Ngoy sees his first pontoon boat in his life this weekend?
Totally true.
True. There you go. Did you see the video that Auburn basketball put out when like they were announcing that Mantis is here?
Okay. So I got something to say about that.
Okay.
Because you and I we've already told people that we're saying Mantis wrong, but it just works.
Mantis.
So, yeah, it's Mantis, but Mantis works better for t-shirts and for hats.
Yeah,
and
catchphrases, all that kind of stuff.
Catchphrases,
merch.
For a guy playing defense, Mantis is way better than Montes as far
as no doubt
that. However, we thought we were getting it right with Rube Stavicious on the last name. And so, Kyle, I watched this video.
Yeah.
I listened to him say it easily 6-7 times.
I got no idea.
I keep playing the video. So I said,
got no idea what he says.
I said, you know what? I have a lot of technology at my office. I'm going to email this to myself. And when I get in, I'm going to plug it into the computer and I'm going to listen on the big speakers and run it through the board and slow it down and break it down. I'm still at square one three days later. I got no.
After Rube, I'm out.
Yep.
I'm just going to stick with the way I think we're saying it just fine. Rube Stavicious.
I think he says it that way. He just says it really fast.
Yeah.
Which is easy for me and you. I got a two-syllable last name. You got a one-syllable last name. It's pretty
easy. I have eight letters in both my names.
Yes. So total. It's pretty easy.
Two syllables combined.
Yes. And I'm not far above you. I mean, you know, Ben Taylor ain't exactly the longest name.
Hold on. It depends on it. In Alabama, it's two syllables because it's Kyle, you know.
It's Ben.
Ben's got two. Ben's got two syllables.
Yes,
Kyle. Kyle's just got one. Unless you go up north and you may hear Kyle, and then that's kind of two syllables. But I watched the whole video, and honestly, the majority of the team I feel like pronounces it the way that we would pronounce it, like Rube Stavicious. Yeah. That seems pretty easy. And then he gets in there, and it's just like blah blah. And I listened to it 100 times, and I still. I have no idea how to pronounce it correctly. Really? Like he would like me to.
literally put it in our audio converter stuff at the here at the office. And
we need to email Ted Feely, SID, and say pronunciation guide.
I'm telling you, he's going to break it down and say Rube Stavicious.
I can text Taylor right now.
Because he already put it out to like a lot of beat writers whenever he was committed. Because it was on one of the original, like the pronunciation was sent out on one of the releases. And so that's how we came up with the name or saying Rube Stavicious. It also told us that it was Mantis the first time around. We just all started with Mantis. And since we're in the South, we stayed with it. So yep. Regardless, get excited. All of them are here. Everybody's on campus.
For some reason, I just
may see his first pontoon boat.
Yeah. Yeah. Very well. Very well. So, I don't know that Europe as a whole knows what pontoon boats are.
Also, I don't know that Europe as a whole. I mean, they do some fishing and stuff, but I don't know that they do like lake life like we do.
You know what I mean? Pontoon boats in Europe.
Yeah.
Says they're available. I got to see it to believe it.
I got to see it to believe it. ain't no movie set in Europe I've ever seen a pontoon boat floating out there. I can tell you that right now. Yeah. I've watched all those Taken movies. I ain't seen pontoon boat number
one. Good point. It's all yachts.
Yep. So just
keep seeing a lot of pictures. No proof of them being in Europe.
Yeah. I think they're full of crap.
Yeah. I don't believe them. I don't believe them.
They're available if you order them from America and have them sent over.
Yeah, they're going to be like sailboats and stuff. Yeah. They don't do pontoons.
No. So,
What an electric show.
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, I say this, we need to be excited because everybody's here. Everybody's practicing. Everybody's working out.
For some reason, I had a weird feeling that something was going to happen. I just had a bad feeling about both of those guys until they actually got here. I felt like that it wasn't going to work out.
I wish you would have told me that. I didn't get that feeling about Narcisse until he got drafted. And when he got drafted, and I was like, oh no, he could decide to go pro. And then when he came out with a statement that said, I'm definitely going to Auburn, I was like, okay, well, that makes me feel better.
I just felt like with all this 5-for-5 and rule changes and stuff like that, I thought we would just get hosed.
Mantis is the one that I really worried about because from watching his tape, Kyle, and from what I've seen thus far, he's going to be a difference maker on the outside. And I mean, I understand that Narcisse is going to be a difference maker on the inside too, but I never really was worried about Narcisse except when the draft rights became available. But with Mantis, I was like, we really need this dude. Don't get me wrong. We have a great team outside of Mantis, but I mean, that's just a spot that, you know, guy 6'6" that can fill it up from anywhere. I mean, it just is it's going to be so much more that's added to the program. So I'm glad they're all on campus. Now you got to get them in the gym one another. You got to get that cohesion going. You got to start, like you just talked about. I know it sounds stupid. We're talking about pontoon boats and we're talking about seeing that for the first time. You got to get them together this 4th of July, let them hang out with one another, start getting to know each other's personalities, all that stuff. Because that was probably one of the things I made a knock on with last year's team is it seemed like they did not play as a team. And I think Steven and staff have gone, okay, we've seen how this narrative plays out. So we got to get them playing as a team and being good teammates with one another. I mean, you and I discussed even late in the season, there were a couple of times it looked like Tahad and Hall kind of got into it on the floor. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
so Justin Hokanson had a report that I thought was – I kind of expected this, and he summed it up the best. He said that this roster is super low maintenance.
Oh.
So far. So I kind of expected that. I felt like that was a really good description of last year's roster that was high maintenance. Like you always had to worry about people's attitudes. Honestly, several of the last rosters, even the good ones, you've had high maintenance issues. And this one just feels like a lot of, you know, just blue collar dudes that come to work ready to, you know, ready to get after it. And that's going to be extremely refreshing compared to what we just went through.
And and I'm not doing this as a knock on him, but there were a couple of times I told you I got a little aggravated with Hall's attitude that he had.
Oh, man.
Freeman's attitude kind of showed a little bit every now and then where he would rear his head. I mean, he wasn't a, you know, he wasn't a starter, but still, you know, there are a couple of times he got frustrated. We talked about the guard that, you know, went basically did not play after February and his attitude and what that and that that's just they put on a good face in front of the camera. But, you know, that affects a lot. A locker room that small. We're not talking about a football locker room that's got 100 plus guys walking around in it. We're talking about a locker room that's got 15 dudes that know each other better than anybody. And one bad apple can really make the entire group kind of spoil a little bit.
Yeah, just think about from like a scrimmage perspective, like when you're going up against each other, like if one guy's got a bad attitude, you're not going to get a good representation or you're not going to get a good idea of what's, you know, what you can actually do. And, you know, football, you can kind of disguise it because you got so many dang dudes out there. But, yeah, it's a low maintenance team for 2026-2027. I hate that basketball does that. Just say 2027.
Yeah.
The vast majority of your games are going to be played in 2027. The games
will be played 2027.
Yeah, the championship is awarded.
Once you count, are going to be in 2027.
Exactly.
It's exhibition and – basically non-conference / tournament play up until January.
What do you do about football now?
What do you mean, what do I do about
football? Do we change football too? Because the championship's in 2027, even though I don't worry about the championship.
No, the majority it's where the majority of the season's played because they'll still call them the 2026 champion.
Yeah, okay.
If they win. So,
let's go with that.
Yeah, I'm okay with football.
Okay, let's just go with that. I want to switch gears and talk about – numbers here in just a second. This will be funny. Brad and Zach had a really funny conversation, and I want to get your perspective on it. But before we do that, let's give a quick shout out to buyauburn.com. Do business with Auburn people everywhere. Auburn business owners, less than a dollar a day. You can sign up and have your business listed. And it's just a great and very easy and financially easy way to get your message, get your company out in front of a lot of Auburn fans. So show some love. It's buyauburn.com. And then a shout out to myself. First, I'd like to thank me.
Because I love me some me.
I love me some me. if you need a good realtor in the Auburn, Opelika, Lee County, surrounding areas, hit me up. KyleRush@KW.com. Got 4 investment property townhome listings right now that I think you'd be very interested in. Or if you just, you know, first time home buyer, it's also really good. Really good product as well. Got game day cottages, got all kinds of stuff that are really close to the stadium. Let me be your game day guy. So hit me up. It's KyleRush@KW.com. Numbers.
It reminds me of that spoof video. It was like, you know, Kyle's got a great team over there. And they said, there's no I in team. No, but there's a me.
There's a me
in team.
There's no doubt about it. No doubt about it. So yesterday, Brad and Zach were having a really funny conversation, and it didn't start off as a funny conversation, but it became funny. They were talking about numbers, and essentially the way it got started is that there's 3 number 11s on the roster, which is funny in and of itself, but there's no like 66, 67, or 68. Like there's numbers that are just we don't have
linemen to grab those numbers.
Yeah. So that kind of spun, which that's funny in and of itself. That spun into what's the best number per position.
Okay.
All right. And the funny part was that every time they talked about a position and Brad gave numbers, that was always related to an Auburn guy. And then like, here's an example. They're talking about cornerbacks, and Zach says 24 is the best cornerback number, hands down. There's no argument. And Brad says, well, I think about Cadillac when I think about 24. So that messes me up there.
I do. Yeah.
And now that I think about it, I feel like that's how I value numbers. I feel like I do the same thing. Like, I'm thinking about Auburn guys when I'm thinking about numbers. When you are going for like, hey, I want to have the best linebacker number, how do you determine what that is? Like, what? How do you go about it? Like, because I would agree with Zach. I would agree with Brad. I'm thinking 55. I mean, I dig single digit numbers. But if 55 to Keo Spikes, like, that's to me. Every linebacker at Auburn, they should have to vote who gets to wear 55. And, like, that should be.
That I love because I've told you this before. There are a couple of numbers, in my opinion, that are untouchable.
Yeah.
Regardless if they're retired or they're not retired, there are a couple that are untouchable to me. Most recently, Cam, he's untouchable. Can't have two. You can't have 55. Now, if they vote, if Takeo says, oh, I would love for the starting middle linebacker to have 55. If Takeo approves it and the team votes on it, I'm totally good with that.
Do we have 55s now? I think we do, don't we? Or did they retire that number?
I think they retired it, didn't they?
Kenneth McManus is 55. He's an offensive lineman.
Yeah,
that's a shame. What a shame.
That needs to be ripped from him today. That cannot happen.
He needs to get 60. Holy cow. So there's no 62. So there's no 61, 62, 63, 66, 67, or 68. The 60s are just barren. We got triple numbers in other places.
So, yeah, get rid of his 55, give him 67. That's just what that needs to happen. Yeah. There's just a few numbers. Pat Salt, like, 7 can't be touched. And
This isn't a discussion about retired numbers, man.
No, I know. because you just said, a linebacker needs 55. I'm like, yeah. That's why I love the point you made about voting for it. If cleared by Takeo, I'm okay with him doing that. Offensive lineman, that's kind of funny that none of the 60s, because I'm like, you got to be a number 60-something on the offensive line. And then you just told me that nobody wants any of the
60s or 70s.
Yeah, 60s or 70s.
Okay, so, like, let me ask you this. Let's do this a different way. Quarterback, what's the best number, and then how did you come to that conclusion?
I've always liked quarterback numbers in the teens, somewhere between 11 and
8. There's 9 of them. So what's your favorite quarterback number?
10. And it's got nothing to do with Bo Nix. I just love 10. I just love 10.
Is it Patrick Nix?
No, it's definitely not Pat Nix. I was more of a Bo Nix fan than a Pat Nix fan. 10 is probably my favorite quarterback number. I love the double digits.
So how did you come to that? Like, what made you love 10 on a quarterback? That's the discussion.
Mine's aesthetics. Mine is just aesthetic, like, aesthetically what looks good on a guy in that position. That's why I've told you those defensive linemen, I love those 90s.
Hate the 90s.
See, I love
unless it's interior.
Yeah.
If it's an interior guy, I want like 96, 97, 98, 99 on the interior.
You need to give me a defensive end that's 99.
Nope.
Totally okay with it.
So, what about a wide receiver?
A wide receiver's always need to be in the 80s.
That slows them down so much, dude. They're so slow.
Not with today's technology. Maybe
Randy Moss is the only wide receiver in the 80s that the numbers just didn't slow him down.
What are you single digits in the wide receiver?
Yeah. Single digit wide receiver guy.
Single digits they could bust out to be a wide. I'm a slot back guy. I'm a slot back guy. I can be a single digit. I'm okay with single digit running backs too. I've always loved the ones or the zeros or something like that, which is funny that you talked about defensive linemen, not like in the 90s. I also like the big fat guys that just wear number one. That's it. That one gets stretched like you wouldn't believe. I love one on a defensive lineman.
So, like, what about Derrick Brown when he's wearing number 5? What'd you think about that?
Absolutely loved it.
You loved it? Okay.
Yes, absolutely loved it. I think if you're a big guy and can pull off a single digit, I'm totally okay with it. So
he's wearing doesn't he wear 95 now in the NFL? I think it's better than 5 on him.
Yeah, but the NFL's got those rules where they did away with a lot of those rules because now they let guys wear single digits. Before,
the no fun league, is that what you're talking about?
No fun league. They used to, by position, you had to have certain.
Do numbers. They have zeros?
They do. The NFL? They allow you to have zeros now.
Where are you on zero?
I'm not a big fan.
I'm okay. If you have to have it, where is it best?
A wide receiver. Hit him right between the zero, like right in the zero.
Really?
Yes. You got to have a zero. Give it to my top wide receiver or my guy that does a lot of slants, whether that's a slot guy or inside receiver.
As a target.
Give me as a target. Give me zero. Hit the middle of the target.
I don't really know where I would like zero. I just don't really. I don't really care for it. I know we got – who do we have?
I think it was out west last year's. One of the quarterbacks had zero. Can't stand that. That sucked. I did not like that at all.
Yeah. Sylvester Smith-Reed has it this year, zero. Mm-hmm. Wasn't it like Damari Austin?
Yes.
And someone else had it on defense.
Had zero. Yeah. Defensive back, maybe they had a zero.
It can be kind of cool on a linebacker, I think. We had a linebacker. We had Owen Popo wore zero. That was kind of looked pretty good on him. Robert Woodyard wore zero last year, and he was good.
Yep. I'm okay with a DB wearing zero, but I'd rather see it in like a slot guy or inside receiver, if at all possible, if you got to have zero on the field. I'm just not a big zero fan, period. Now, as bad as it sounds, this goes down to the 88 that you like, and it's going to slow them down. I like the double zero, like that double aught.
That isn't a thing, though.
I know. It is in like every other sport but football.
Yeah.
There was a guy the other night, Major League Baseball pitcher. He was double zero. And there's a couple of basketball players wear double zero. But football doesn't do
it. Baseball numbers are weird. That's a whole nother discussion. Like, you can have a pitcher that's like number 70-something.
Yeah.
That's just weird to me.
Yeah.
What was Randy? Didn't Randy Johnson have a weird number?
He was a low number, I believe.
51.
Yeah, 51.
That's weird.
A lot of guys, though, a lot of those pitchers, they'll take the number they get given in like A or double A ball and just keep it when they
keep it forever.
Play. Yeah. Because they like got drafted with that number, so they just stay with it. So that's pitchers are weird anyway. That's a whole nother discussion. But okay, so where do you stand on what does a safety have to be wearing?
20s. I like that. The 20s.
I like that.
I'll take a single digit, but I like in the 20, like 25. Like I was kind of, when Eric Winters had 25 his freshman year, I was like, that's awesome. And then so now he's number five.
Like,
but
you don't like Rob Payton, Will Herring, 31? You don't like 31 back there at the safety?
I would be okay if all the 30s and the 40s were just taken straight out. Like there's just no 30s or 40s. There's not a single number in the 30s or 40s that I'm a fan of.
Auburn's definitely missing 34. It ain't going to see the field.
Yeah. By the way, terrible number. I'm just not a 34. can't believe that's the one he got stuck with. But it was good for him.
Wow, no 40s either. You know what's funny about 40s is back when I was – like some guys wanted to wear 40s as like linebackers.
Yeah.
I'm not a big
like 40. Jared Smith at 41 is just a travesty to me. That's an absolute travesty.
So the only 40 number that I wouldn't mind seeing, I would like, this is again me, maybe I like double number, 44. I'd be fine with 44.
You could give all the kickers, long snappers, all the specialists, anything in the 40s. Give them all the 40 numbers. There's some 30 numbers I can deal with, but I'm just not a big fan of the 30s. So I don't know.
Safeties, I'd say numbers 20 through 33. That's all you can have. After that, you're done. You can't do it after that.
Dude, 31 is a safety. Blah, throw up. You kidding me? I'll take 35. Will Herring was number 35. That wasn't bad.
Yeah. Herring was 35. Rob Pate was 31. So they
sorry, Rob.
Yeah.
It's nothing personal.
Yeah. I think he actually listens to the show too. It's great.
It's nothing personal, dude. Rob, you would not be 31 today.
Yes, he would.
No. He's too good. He'd be a single digit.
That's a great. He's our color guy for Auburn High football. I need to ask him, hey, if you had to start over today, what number would you pick? If you could have any number you want, what number as a safety would you pick? That's a great question. You know what? Start talking about something. Let me just ask him right now.
He's going to say 31 because he's not going to be honest. He's going to lie.
Yeah, he's going to lie. He's going to say 31.
Did you play football in high school?
Yeah.
What number? What position did you play, and what was your number? This is the last thing we'll talk about, I promise.
Tight end and wide receiver. Tight end, wide receiver, single digit, wore number 9. 1 and 7.
Ooh.
wanted seven, but the senior ahead of me wouldn't let me have seven.
That sounds like an all-county wide receiver out there, number nine.
No, it was far from it, buddy. had great hands, slowest guy on the field.
Kudos to that.
Let me tell you something. If Ben Taylor got pulled in to play tight end, we were running the ball that play, buddy.
Yeah. So I played like it was a Z in our offense, but it was like a wing back. But we didn't run a wing T. We ran like a pro style offense. Yep. But I would just be like the motion receiver and get the block on, be a detached like blocker a lot. And I was number 29. I don't know how I feel, but I didn't really like my own number. It's terrible. Yeah.
Did you lose a bet? Did somebody not like you? Did the coach hate you? Why'd you get
29? No. But see, like my coach was so old school that like we didn't even allow single digit numbers. Like you couldn't have a single digit number because I assume that drew too much attention to yourself. Also, this is another thing we did. We did not have our names on the back of our jersey. It just said T.R. Miller. So
we didn't have anything on the back of our jersey.
Now's the thing. When you play for the name on the back of the jersey, the name on the back of your jersey is T.R. Miller. That's who you're playing for.
Yeah, we
not for Sanders, not for Taylor, not for Rush, not for Williams. You're playing for T.R. Miller.
We were just too poor to have the name on the back of our jersey.
Yeah,
I get it. We just had Red Level or Tigers right here on the front. That's what we had. And then it's funny you said the single digits. I guess looking back on it, though, Kyle, my junior and senior year, I wore the single digit nine, but before that, I wore 14. We didn't have single digit numbers either.
We didn't even have the jersey. Like, we didn't have the option.
Yeah, we didn't either until my junior year. So I guess that was when we got new uniforms, they did single digits. So I took nine.
There was a senior ahead of me that had, I want to say it was 22. I was really wanting 22. That would have been a sick number.
Brent Fullwood, like 22. That was a great number.
Emmitt Smith.
Yeah.
You went right to the Auburn guy.
Yeah.
You went right to the Auburn guy. See, you're Brad. You are Brad, and Brad is you. All right, let's get out of here, dude.
I had a Brent Fullwood jersey.
Let me talk until we talked about today.
Okay.
Pontoon boats.
Yeah.
And numbers.
And the French Riviera, where Narcisse has never seen a pontoon boat.
What is the French Riviera? Is it a river?
No, it's like the area of the hanging, like the Gulf, like when we go to Gulf Shores.
So like that's on the Mediterranean then?
I think so, yeah.
There you go. Monaco?
Is that I could tell you anything right now and you'd believe me because you don't
know. I believe you. I have no idea. I can't name one place in Spain.
The French Riviera is in Russia. That's the French Riviera is in Russia.
I feel confident the French Riviera is in France. I feel pretty confident about that. All right, we're going to get the heck out of here. Y'all have a great day. We'll talk again tomorrow. War Eagle.
War damn Eagle.